And grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, again, what an incredible evening. So many festivals that God had commanded his people to observe throughout the years, and all of that coming together now in the person of Jesus Christ, who has come and who is about to make that final journey to the cross on what we know now as Good Friday. But I'd like us to think about these words, the gospel especially, as we think about the Lord instituting his supper, the Passover meal, but also we hear about the Day of the Atonement, another observance every year that God commanded among his people. And I'd like to reread a portion of the epistle reading from chapter 10 of Hebrews, beginning at verse 19. Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain, that is, his body, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with sincere hearts in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience, and having our bodies washed with pure water. Beautiful words that the Lord affirms to us in these words. But we think about historically this day, the Passover. You know, I'd never really thought about it before, but the Passover was celebrated for the first time nearly 3,500 years ago. And we remember that event, right? Remember when God delivered his people out of Egypt? Remember that they were in bondage there for many years? And the way they ended up in Egypt in the first place, remember one of Jacob's sons, Joseph, was sold into slavery by his brothers, and Joseph ends up as a slave in Egypt, but by God's intervention and directive, eventually Joseph becomes the second highest authority under Pharaoh in this very powerful empire of the day. And wouldn't you know, there's a great famine that comes on the land. And so Jacob and his family up north, God's chosen, they're hungry and they're looking for food, and so they decide they'll go to Egypt and see if they can get food from the Pharaoh, because they had wisely stored up food. Well, guess who's in charge of the food supply? Their brother. And it's just one of those most touching stories of forgiveness in Scripture, and you can read about that in Genesis. And then into Exodus as we hear about God's deliverance. So God's people were there for about 400 years. And then things changed politically. Imagine that. And so the pharaohs that came later became very cruel to the Jews, to God's chosen that were in that land, and to the point that they were slaughtering their children. They were enslaving them. Life was horrible and very dangerous for them. And God sends Moses to deliver them. And what a beautiful imagery of God's deliverance. And remember, Moses comes down, and by God's directive, he threatens Pharaoh with all the different plagues. And there were horrible ones like the frogs infesting the land, the Nile turning into blood, and several other plagues. And Pharaoh still refused to let God's people go, right? And then finally, the final plague that Pharaoh finally gave into was that God was going to take the firstborn male of every household in Egypt. He was going to kill them if Pharaoh did not let his people go. Again, Pharaoh refuses, and so God carries out his plan for this final plague. Now, his own people are vulnerable to that also, but what does God do? He gives them careful instructions about taking a one-year-old male lamb without blemish, not the runt of the group, but the best of lambs that they have, and to slaughter that lamb and to take the blood of that lamb and put it over the doorposts and the lintel, the top beam over the door, cover that with blood. And God promised to them, if he sees the blood over the entryway of that household, that he will pass over that household and that family will be spared. And so that day comes. And all of the firstborn males in Egypt die. And God spares the lives of his own people. Have you ever thought about it? If you were one of the firstborn males in a family of one of the God's chosen families, households, wouldn't that be an eerie night? And you're praying to God that this is really going to happen, that the blood on the doorpost is actually going to spare your life. And then you hear the wailing and the mourning and the crying and the sheer horror through the land of Egypt as many are dying. The Passover. And finally, what does Pharaoh do? But he says, I'll let your people go. And here they walk free without weapons out of this powerful empire as God delivered them. What a visual, physically, of being delivered from that slavery, of a much greater deliverance as God has delivered us spiritually from our sin and from death and Satan through the gift of his Son. Remember when John the Baptist pointed out Jesus early in his ministry, and Jesus is in the crowd, and John the Baptist says, hey, look over there, behold, the Lamb of God, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And there's the connection, the Lamb. And now here we are, Holy Week. On Palm Sunday was the day that the lambs were selected and brought to Jerusalem for the sacrifice. What's Jesus doing that day? He selects himself, doesn't he, as the Lamb of God, and he enters Jerusalem on Palm Sunday. And now we fast forward to Thursday evening when the Passover meal is being shared as God had commanded. And so here's Jesus with his apostles in that upper room. Isn't it cool? It was furnished, provided for them by Jesus' direction, and they eat the Passover meal. And it just amazes me. Have you ever thought of this, that for nearly 3,500 years, because right after the initial Passover, when God delivered his people out of Egypt, he commanded them that every year, on a specific date, and it was by the cycles of the moon, and that's how we know when Easter is each year, same measurement, and that every year they were to celebrate the Passover to remember what God had done for them. I'd never really thought about that till this year. For nearly 3,500 years, consistently, the Passover has been remembered and celebrated among God's people. Isn't that awesome? And here tonight, we are gathered in this local place as God's family, as his people, for another consistent year of remembering and celebrating the Passover. But boy, did special things happen that evening. So after the meal was over, there was still leftover bread and wine. And then Jesus does this most incredible thing. He picks up some bread, he breaks it, he passes it around to the apostles, and as he's passing it around to them, what does Jesus say? But take, eat, this is my body given for you. The Passover lamb, the sacrificial lamb, literally offering himself in this meal to the apostles in fulfillment of the meal and the events that they remembered earlier in the evening. And then Jesus also offered to them the wine, didn't he? And he said, take and drink this, the new covenant in my blood shed for you. The sacrificial Passover lamb has fulfilled what all those years prior to were preparing God's people for, and that you and I can celebrate to this very evening and always when we receive his precious meal together. There were other things going on during that meal prior to Jesus instituting the Lord's Supper, though, wasn't there? In fact, the first thing Jesus did, and this would just have been, I mean, you can understand why the apostles were just in awe, Peter not even wanting the Lord to wash his feet, because no one would lower themselves or stoop so low to wash the feet of another. And it was a common practice. You know, they didn't have cars, nice clean cars to come to church in that day when they traveled. And certainly they didn't have the quality of shoes that you and I have and socks. They just had sandals and they were walking on dirty, dusty roads and it was sweaty and oh, the stinky, filthy, dirty feet. And so it was a custom if you came to someone's home as a guest, your feet would be washed by someone in that household where you're visiting. But guess who gets that job? It's one of the slaves. And one of the most lowest of the slaves on the roster within that household. In fact, I've read articles that this was so demeaning for someone to do that it had to be a Gentile slave. It was even too demeaning for any Jewish slave to be expected to do. Disciples certainly were not expected to wash the feet of their rabbi or the great teachers that they followed. But what is Jesus doing? Here's Jesus. And they know it. Peter confessed, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And here Jesus is stooping down that low to wash his own apostles' feet. No wonder they were shocked that he was doing this. And then remember when Jesus finished washing their feet? What did he say? But he said, "A new commandment I give you, love one another. Just as I have loved you," Jesus says to them and to us, "so you are to love one another." The new commandment. And by the way, mandi, that term comes from the Latin word mandatum, which means commandment. And so it's from this new commandment on this evening that the Lord gives that we now have the title of this special day of the church year, Maundy Thursday. So Jesus fulfills the Passover. He is the Passover lamb. But there's still much more going on here as Jesus literally offers his flesh at the cross, offers his life there. And we hear then this whole idea of the atonement that God also commanded. Remember in the Old Testament, every year in the temple, there was the Holy of Holies. It was the holiest room in all of the temple. It was the inner room. And there was this huge curtain that separated that room from the rest of the temple rooms. And so once a year, the high priest of that year would have to sacrifice a bull to cleanse himself and his family before he could enter into the Holy of Holies. And once he had done that, he went into the Holy of Holies, and we know then that a goat was offered for all the people to cover their sins, and that's where the scapegoat, remember the goat runs off with the sins of all the people? And a very visual of God taking their sins away from them and bestowing them, laying them on this animal. But again, all pointing forward to the sacrificial lamb who would carry our sins to the cross. The Day of Atonement had to be celebrated every year, over and over and over again. But then we hear these words in the prior chapter of Hebrews this evening. When Christ came as high priest, so not only is he the Lamb of God, but he also is the high priest. When Christ came as the high priest, he did not enter by means of the blood of goats and calves, but he entered the most holy place, and listen to this, once for all, by his own blood, having obtained eternal redemption. It never has to be done again. What Jesus accomplished at the cross, one sacrifice suffices for the sins of all people of all time. It never has to be done again. And so we hear these wonderful words in light of that tonight in our text at hand, that therefore, brothers, by the way, brothers means church, the body of believers, so ladies, you are included in that. It's just the way that the church was addressed in that day. Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place. Wow, God's saying that you and I, as people of faith, as children of God, we now can enter the Holy of Holies. And it's by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain that is his body. Remember when Jesus died on the cross, what happened to the curtain that separated the Holy of Holies from the rest of the temple? It tore in two. And that curtain was very thick. Several very strong men, together with all their strength, would not be able to tear that curtain. That's how strong it was. But when Jesus shed his blood at the cross, when he died, that curtain was separated. And what does God announce then? That the way is open directly to God. The way has been opened directly to heaven. There's no longer that barrier that stood between us and God. Jesus has removed it. Is that good news? And so as God's people, cleansed by Jesus' shed blood, we can freely go directly to God, and we know the gates of heaven are open to you and me. The new covenant. You know what's interesting in this word in the Greek, by a new and living way? That word new literally means freshly slain. Freshly slain. And I think that's rather amazing. By a freshly slain and living way. I think of Jesus' death, freshly slain, and the living way, Jesus' resurrection and victory over death. It is so rich in the words that God shares with you and me here. And so together as God's people, we have full access to God by what the Passover lamb has accomplished for us. Jesus has delivered us more from slavery in a land. He's delivered us from the slavery of sin and from the condemnation of the law. He's delivered us from Satan and all of Satan's fallen angels that follow him, all the demons. We are delivered from them as well. Most of all, we're delivered from death, and we are given the security of everlasting life, all by what God has done through this new covenant, and it really means renewed, fulfilled, through the gift of his Son. And so then I love the applications that were given in this reading. So number one, in light of this, let us then draw near to God with a sincere heart in the full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience. The Lord cleanses you and me. And so we can draw near to God with confidence, not trusting in our own worthiness, but trusting in the worthiness of Jesus, who through him we are declared worthy by God. And God goes on to say, let us hold unswervingly to the hope that we profess. That hope that elsewhere in Scripture the Lord says will never disappoint us. And so we can hold on to that unswervingly. We live as people of hope. What an incredible journey of life this is. In light of just the horrendous things we see, my heart just goes out to the family of this young teenage girl that closed down the school system through her threat that she gave. I mean, what is her life like? What was it like before she took her own life? I can't imagine that she was living in hope. But you and I have been given this hope. And then another let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. And so God doesn't give us worship like we're doing now as a burden to us, but we need worship. And really for a twofold reason. One is we need to be nurtured by God's word as we are tonight, hearing it read and proclaimed. But isn't it incredible still this very day we get to be in the presence of Jesus as he serves to you and me as he did to his apostles, his very body and blood, to affirm to us his love and forgiveness. And that is empowering, dear friends in Christ. And we are here to encourage one another. We need that. Boy, we live in a very discouraging world, a very negative world. We need one another to be here together as we are tonight, to encourage each other, to cheer each other on in the faith. And so here we are. And what a blessing, how empowering that is. And praise God for that. A new and living way. Never will be changed. Christ has fulfilled it. There is nothing left necessary to do. He has completed everything. And we are blessed to live in the blessings of his love and grace. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, whose love is so incredible, we can't even begin to fully comprehend it. But we know and trust it. And through it, we have the gift of everlasting life. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep our hearts and minds always in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.